Hello there, and welcome to Premier League Powwow, the show all about football across the pond. My name is Sam Huff, and I'm here alongside my teammate, Cade Beaton. I want to say hello to the fans.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Another diehard Premier League fan, and in case anyone doesn't know, Premier League is the number one tier in English soccer. Obviously, it doesn't get talked about as much in America with, you know, NFL, MLB playoffs coming around, but it's honestly one of my favorite sports to watch, not only the system that it's in, but just the competition that comes from it and how intense the fans are. So we're here to talk about all the hot topics that have kicked off this season and upcoming events for teams that we cheer for, as well as across Europe. So kind of just... opening up a little bit into it. Beats, do you have any, other than the obvious ones, do you have any other reason why people don't pay attention to Premier League over here?
To be honest, I feel like the big four of sports, which is like NHL, MLB, NBA, NFL, kind of takes over like the mainstream media here. I feel like even when I watch like in the morning, like I'll watch ESPN, like you never see any Premier League highlights or anything like that. And honestly, I don't know why. I feel like it's actually it's a beautiful game to watch. Like, you think about it, it's 90 minutes of full sprint at all times. It's I don't know, it's almost like a lost art. Like, people don't appreciate it for what it is. Like, it has like the stigma of being really boring and like 2-1 games or 1-0 games, and people don't find that interesting. But there's so much that goes into it that I just find pretty fascinating, to be honest.
Yeah, I'd have to agree on that. Like, kind of all the action in between. And that's kind of what took it for me when I started getting into it last year. And I do believe you hit the head on the nail on mainstream media in the U.S. They, you know, everyone loves football here. Even more people love baseball here. But yeah, really the first thing that changed for me is kind of seeing those atmospheres that came out. And I mean, it's just like as an easy comparison, it's just like NFL over there. Like, you have your local club, you're waiting all week for the one game, and hopefully your boys put on a good performance.
I would almost say that it's more hardcore than the NFL. Like, those fans, they get crazy, dude. And they'll travel everywhere to watch their teams play too. And like, I feel like, like, money isn't it's just like an afterthought for the fans and everything. Like, they'll go to the end of the earth to watch their team play, win or lose. They'll support them to the end.
And that's kind of the last thing I wanted to wrap up, just about why I'm so intrigued by it. The entire country, I feel like, just how the structure of the league is set up is completely different than American sports. American, of course, all we care about is the money. Even though they focus on it way more here, thanks to promotion and relegation, which I used to hate on it, being like, oh, how could you not want a playoffs? I think promotion and relegation is probably the most fascinating thing I've ever seen in sports.
I think it's really cool too, just to see like lower league teams, like your favorite team, Brentford.
Shout out the Brentford Bees.
Yeah, like they haven't been up in like their existence, and then you see a team like that pop up and they're actually doing really well right now. So and then you see big teams in like my team in Everton in relegation battles, and it's like, you gotta the draws and wins mean so much more.
Yeah.
Now
so yeah, just to wrap up our last thing, just to explain, my favorite team just recently came into the Premier League, their first time since 1939. That is the Brentford Bees. So I've been cheering on them ever since they made it up. And Beats, who's your team?
I cheer for Everton. There's been ups and downs. They had some good teams back in the 60s, 70s, 80s. They were winning, but now it's a little bit more of a struggle. But they still, you know what? They still have my heart.
Okay, so now that we got a little bit of explanation about English football, let's get into it. So, we have started the Premier League. We're about, I want to say, 8-9 games in. Let's look at our table first, actually. So coming out on top, obviously Arsenal has made some huge waves at the beginning of this season, starting off in the lead after seven games, with 18 points. front runners Man City right behind him at 17 knocking, and Tottenham also coming out very high scoring. Brighton making a big shock in the top four right now for European playoffs. Fulham also making a very huge surprise in the top six for European qualification right now. Rounding out, Chelsea, Liverpool with some down years. Brentford, middle of the pack with Newcastle, Leeds United. Bournemouth, another new program up right now, currently in 12th, not doing bad. Beats his team, Everton, 13th. Southampton, Villa, Palace, Wolves round out the bottom half. And the current three relegation teams right now are West Ham, Nottingham Forest, and Leicester City. Now, as I'm surprised about some of these teams, after watching some of them, I don't know if you can agree, Beats, but I feel like Leicester, Nottingham, and West Ham, they all have specific reasons why they're down there, and, like, I honestly think they deserve to be down there right now.
Yeah, I mean, the way they're playing, they deserve to be down there right now, but, like, when you think about it, the things, like, West Ham was pushing for a top four spot last year.
Oh, yeah.
Leicester is a consensus top 10 team usually. I think they finished top 10 last year. And then Nottingham Forest spent like the third most amount in transfers last window, which I don't know. Personally, I think if they're using their money correctly, if you're spending the third most amount on transfers in all of Europe, then you shouldn't be sitting in 19th in your table. But there are definitely some holes in those teams, and that's why they're down there. But I don't know. When I looked at the season, I did not see those three teams sitting at the bottom of the table, to be honest.
I mean, I will say West Ham is definitely a shock for me. I mean, it could be a different, maybe a little bit more strain. They have to deal with Conference League schedule. Nottingham Forest, I'm not surprised about because, I'm sorry, that's too many transfers. You can't, I mean, you mentioned, what was it, over $150 million in the summer?
I think it was like 153 or something.
They have like 18 new players. They have no continuity from the historic season they had last year to even get them up promotion. Leicester City, whew, man, dude. I mean, that is tough for the King Power Stadium and their fans. I mean, Brendan Rodgers looks like an absolute buffoon, doesn't want to change anything. Got Danny Ward in there as your back keeper, which, ooh, man, I mean.
It's tough because they lost their I would say their best center back in Fofana. Obviously, he went to Chelsea.
Fofana's super good, but, I mean, still, even at that point, like, I didn't even hear about Wesley Fofana until he started getting transfer rumors.
Really?
Like, you still have, I mean, I know they're getting older, but you still got Vardy, you still got Madison. Tielemans was in some transfer talk, but he's still there. You have, why can't I think of him right now? Dewsbury Hall, who's coming in, who's just getting better and better.
Too.
Well, Schmeichel's gone.
Oh, is he?
Yeah,
Schmeichel. Where did he go?
I think that's the whole debacle. Schmeichel was a thing that held them together. He transferred to Nice.
I had no idea. Didn't know that.
Yeah, he transferred
that's big for sure.
Yeah, he transferred to Ligue 1. So I think, honestly, I think that's their whole collapse right there.
I feel like that's the same, like, position Everton's in and, like, Jordan Pickford.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he, like, holds that team together because, like, I've watched some games and it's, like, that game was, like, drawn or won by Jordan Pickford.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've mentioned it in some of our talks. I tell it to you all the time. Pickford's the only reason you guys aren't in the championship.
I 100% agree.
You guys did have Mopay scored. Big win against West Ham, which, again, like,
that's with the backup goalie, too.
I'm expecting – wait.
Begovic played that game.
You guys won?
Pickford's hurt right now.
Dude.
Hopefully he'll be back for the World
Cup. I'm shocked West Ham can't get it out. Looking at some of our middle teams.
I'm shocked that Liverpool's.
You know, yeah, obviously. Aston Villa, I know, has been getting a lot of heat. Steven Gerrard possibly looking for early sacking. Just so you guys know, a sacking means a coach gets fired. That's the English term for it. So a lot of fans want Gerrard sacked. I don't think it's going to happen. I feel like you have to give him a little bit more time.
I feel like he's in the same boat as Lampard right now with Everton.
Yeah.
Like, and a lot of the Everton fans were kind of dumping on him at the beginning, but I think they'll pull it back. I think they'll be okay.
Lampard's still doing good. I guess let's just go through storylines coming up with Bournemouth in 12th. Now, obviously a lot of heat happened before with their first coach. It's not Scott Frost. I forgot what his name was, but after taking a thrashing to Liverpool.
Yeah, that was tough.
9-0. Wow.
Wasn't that tied for the most goals allowed in a Premier League game?
Probably.
And I think they gave up 9 again, 2 years ago or something like that.
Yeah. No, that was Southampton. Okay. Lost to Man U 9-1 or something. Yeah. But they let up 9-0, and then he ends up trashing basically the front office, talking about, look at the players that I have, and you want me to go up against Liverpool.
Right.
I still don't agree with that firing, because I don't think that they were doing that bad. They still had points during the time.
Didn't they win, 2 games in a row right before that?
And then yeah, I mean, they beat Villa to start the season, and then I think they were losing until then. But the teams that they played after Villa were Liverpool, Arsenal, and Man City. What are you expecting from this new club?
Yeah, and they got a win against Norwich in the League Cup, too, right before that.
Yeah, and so the last team I guess I'll talk about that shocked me the most, even though I hate it because, I just found out this year, but they are my rivals now because I don't like them, Fulham.
Yeah, dude, that's insane.
Let's put Fulham and Brighton in there because they're both making strides. Fulham, it makes me so mad because I want to imagine that they're just so bad. It's just another championship team. It feels like Mitrovic is just saving them, but they really are good. I mean,
oh yeah, they're solid.
Polina had an amazing goal against Forest last week.
And obviously a guy like Mitrovic helps because he had no business being in the
championship
the year before.
Not at all.
And he's a world-class striker, and I think that obviously that's going to help a lot. Where a team like Everton lacks. Obviously Brentford has a very high class striker in Ivan Toney, but right now that's Everton's missing that guy, and that's where a guy like Mitrovic is coming in for Fulham.
Yeah, and then even on a better note, Brighton, hello,
insane.
Out of nowhere. Brighton starting off their season with a big Manchester United upset. That began all of our rumors thinking, Erik ten Hag ball is going to be all over with pretty soon. But no, Brighton looks amazing. And I kind of thought that last year. I mean, Sanchez, no one really talks about him, but he's not making a lot of news because he's usually getting shutouts or one goal.
Yeah.
He's a very solid goalie. You have Trossard back there.
Trossard is sick.
You did lose Cucurella, but you got a big money cash flow for that.
I would argue that Trossard and Cucurella are almost on the same level. Over the pitch.
I've rated Trossard I didn't see the hype for Cucurella with I think Chelsea was just more of a panic for them wanting to find people. Yeah. I would have taken Trossard any day.
I love how Brighton does their stuff because I feel like they stick to their guns. They don't always bring in 8-9 guys transferring. I feel like that team has been the same for the last 4 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I definitely agree, but I mean that also has to be because of Graham Potter, which I mean I guess that is the latest storyline out of the season is Chelsea fired Thomas Tuchel, which was very controversial after a loss in Champions League, and they go and end up nabbing the Brighton coach Graham Potter.
Mid-season.
That's
another thing you never see in sports in America. I don't even know if that's ever happened.
I don't know. I kind of don't agree with Graham Potter's take, bro. You had your boys with you. You were starting good. Why would you go to Chelsea? I know it's once in a lifetime, but
it's obviously a money move. But I don't know. There's something to be said for loyalty.
So Chelsea had to. I looked at a story about it. Chelsea had to pay. It was a $70 million buyout.
So does that go to their transfer? Transfer. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. So they had a buyout clause to take it during the middle of the season. That was it would have been 30 million less if it wasn't during
the
season.
That's insane. That's actually insane.
That's how bad they wanted them. So, you know, we'll see what happens with Brighton. I have no idea. I know their new coach just got hired. I really don't know much about him. So I would be interested to see if they can keep up their form. Last thing, just around the beginning of the season, we kind of talked about a few mid-season standouts for teams or players. Let's go with two teams and two players.
All right. For my first team, I'm going to say Tottenham. I have been extremely impressed on how they've played.
Yep.
I feel like they're gelling well as a team. Richarlison, my old Everton striker, he's been very good for them. Harry Kane, potting goals as usual. And then I feel like their defense has been just A-class. Romero's been good back there. Obviously, you got Hugo Lloris in net, and I don't know. I think that team is scary. If they can continue to play the way they are, I could see them staying in the Champions League.
I definitely can see them staying in the Champions League. I think they could make it a fun little three-team race for a little. I do think they end up getting weaved off.
You think so?
I think.
I don't think they have.
But it's my worry because I feel like there's so much pressure for them in Champions League this year and how they finally made it back.
Yeah, for sure.
And there's going to, I don't know. I don't want to, you know, sorry Spurs faithful. I don't want to, like, rush into you. But I feel like something might not go well in the Champions League group match or round of 16 game and it just kills the mojo
and it gets in their head. I think the Tottenham fans they kind of live in the past with that whole thing, like the Ajax in 2019. Obviously, like, that's once in a lifetime type of thing, but I don't know. I think they're going to be okay. I think they will definitely challenge for the top spot there too, but it's just a great team.
No, yeah.
And then I'm going to go for my second team, a standout. I think Chelsea's been underperforming, to be honest. Obviously, they had that whole thing in the Champions League, but even, like, in, like, I watched them play Everton, and they did nothing to impress me.
Yeah.
Spending how much money they did and, like, the team they have, I don't know. They don't stick out to me as a team who should challenge for a top three, top four spot.
I'd agree with that. Let's see. My two teams, I'm going to go with Brighton. I kind of thought Arsenal, but really after looking at Arsenal's schedule, like, you're not playing the best teams yet. You lost to Man United, who is so-called your best opponent so far. So that's a little here or there. So I'm going to go with Brighton simply because no one ever gives them anything. Like, they're always looked at as a mid-tier team.
Exactly. I don't even know if they're looked at as mid-tier teams.
I feel like they should be. They've been in since, 2015?
I agree they should be, but I feel like every time that someone looks at Brighton, I feel like that
they'd be like, "Oh, what about Leicester?"
It's a straight relegation battle for them. But I don't. It's kind of like the thing that happened with Sheffield a couple of years ago, like how they like stuck and they were like third in the league for like half the year, you know?
Yeah.
And then, but I don't. I'm nothing but happy for Brighton.
Yeah. So I'll go Brighton. Another one on the other bit of shocking. I feel like this is going to sound weird. I'm going to go Newcastle because I heard so much hype coming in this summer with the new Saudi Arabian takeover. Yep. They did get a lot of guys. I mean, they got Sven Botman.
Nick Pope
that we got, which was a great steal from Burnley. But, dude, they can't score a goal to save their life. I mean, if you don't have Nick Pope, I see that they're in 10th right now. Yo, if you don't have Nick Pope in your game and you have Dubravka again, I see you down to like 15th, 16th right now in the league again.
100% agree with you.
I mean, Saint-Maximin saved him on some equalizers. Like,
but he is a good player.
He is sick. He's good. He's probably going to be my next go-to like standout player because, I mean, dude, this dude amazing.
Since the start of the year, is that game where he got that hat trick, dude, that was as close to perfect as you can have in a game. Like, his free kick taking ability and like just like sheer like will to score and will to win. It's just, I love the way he plays, and I think he's gonna do wonderful for England's team.
I also love the way he plays, but was disappointed because Southgate, England manager, calls him up, doesn't play him for both games.
Yeah, I feel like Southgate has his guys and he's gonna play them all. I don't like the way that he manages, but
yeah.
What can he do? And then I'm going to give my other standout player to Gabriel Jesus. I feel like when he was at Manchester City, he was kind of always in the back burner.
And forgotten.
He was like, very forgotten. And then now he gets a chance to show like the type of thing he can do. And
I know they're not the same position, but for me personally, I always rated Jesus better than Mahrez. I know Mahrez is technically gifted, but like it seems like in big moments Mahrez choked and Jesus wouldn't.
I don't know. I like the way Jesus plays. He kind of plays with a chip on his shoulder and he's always full speed, and I feel like Mahrez used to kind of like, I don't know, he acted a little immature sometimes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like the way of like his body language, like when he would make something wrong. I feel like Jesus just like picks his shoulders up and moves on to the next play, which is the best attitude to have in a sport like football.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we, both of our teams will be surviving come, let's see, we'll say mid-season and also as we get closer and closer.
For sure.
Gonna head to topic two real quick, kind of just off of still talking about currently the season, but Beats, obviously I know it had to be some big news back home. Queen Elizabeth died about 2 weekends ago, I want to say now. She was 96. Obviously huge news. Did you get word back home in Canada about that? Because I know it was big in the UK. I didn't know if it was still big for Canadians or what was your guys' thought process?
I feel like, I think our relationship with England grew a lot better than it was at the very beginning. But to be honest, she's kind of just like on her money.
Yeah.
Like she wasn't a huge part of the whole like Canadian culture kind of thing. But
mm-hmm.
obviously it's nothing you want to see because like it's you never wish for death on anyone. But
no,
she had a pretty good life. I don't know. She stuck in there for a long, long, long time.
Yeah,
and
you could say that again.
Yeah.
So my next question with that then, obviously you heard about the news after Queen Elizabeth died, the Premier League decided to be, it was the only country in Europe that decided to cancel all of their fixtures for that upcoming week. There was a lot of outrage about it, if you could tell, especially from the diehard fans. I agree with their concern because in my eyes, if you're going to postpone it, one, there's already a huge problem because we already have a shortened timeline with this Winter World Cup coming. So already know you're going to make it way more hectic. Two, I started seeing a lot. How would it not be a way to honor the Queen by having moments of silences and recognizing it at those stadiums than instead shutting off those stadiums and their games and people are just staying home, not doing anything? I didn't really understand that.
That was my thought process on the whole thing. I feel like events like that kind of bring people together in low times. It's like, I think back to like 9/11 and the first pitch that George Bush threw out, dude. Mm-hmm. Like I have never seen a stadium so electric. And like, I feel like that in that stadium, in that moment, like everyone was proud to be an American. And I feel like a moment of silence and like in a rowdy crowd in a game in England, I feel like that's some of the most patriotic things you could do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so it's definitely interesting. And I think they knew immediately that they made a mistake because there was supposedly rumors they were going to do it 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah,
and
football,
then everyone,
football Twitter went crazy.
Everyone outraged after weekend one. We're like, oh, okay, like we'll bring them back. But I just don't know as well how that's going to affect where they're going to try and add that extra game in, if they're going to try and squeeze it in before the World Cup or just space everything down. I mean, that's kind of going to be interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
But last thing then, going into it, World Cup preview.
Beautiful.
Obvious.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Gotta love it. In case you guys don't know, the World Cup is usually in the summer. But this year, thanks to lovely FIFA, who's definitely not corrupted, decided to pick Qatar, I believe is the pronunciation, Qatar, as the host for the World Cup in 2022. It is so hot there that they needed to do it in winter so people wouldn't die of heat exhaustion. So I believe it is November 12th is the opening day. Let me double check that. But it's around mid-November, and it's going to November 20th to December 18th. So basically the end of our winter break, I'm not going to be focused on homework because I'm going to be looking at my team.
All day.
Speaking of our teams, obviously, so I'm going to cheer for the United States. Beats
Canada, first time since 86.
First time since 86. Big news. And honestly, dude, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I think
both our teams are dark horses. Don't get it twisted.
I think Canada's a bigger dark horse. So I've looked, because I've watched all of CONCACAF qualifying. Like, they look good.
Yeah, our defense is really, really
good. And they're so young, too. Yes. Which, like, that's got to be so exciting for you guys. Yeah.
Big time. Like, all of them, like, I feel like Davies, how old is he? 23, 24?
No, he's... No, oh, I looked this up the other day. Dude, you're going to be amazed.
Oh, you got like a Laren and Jonathan David. It's scary.
Alphonso Davies is 1 month older than me.
That's actually insane.
That is insane. He's 21. And I've heard his name for at least 6 years.
Yeah, like 4, 5, 6 years, dude. Like, I remember him, like, hearing about him in the Champions League, like, before COVID was even a thought.
No, I know.
You know, like, what I mean? Like, it's insane.
I saw that the other day and I was like, oh my God, like, this kid has
what
been,
am I doing?
This kid has been balling since 15. And speaking of, I mean, that Arsenal kid, I don't know his name, but he got
Nkwema or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. But he got his Premier League debut after they slapped on Brentford, unfortunately. But looking into these World Cup groups, let me see if I can find them real quick. But Group A with our host country looks easy. I'm going to assume Netherlands and Senegal get through that.
What do we got in them? You want to? Should we do predictions?
Yeah, do you want to just go through
let's
them?
Let's do that.
Okay, yeah, we'll go through predictions real quick. Group A, Qatar, Ecuador, Senegal, and Netherlands. I think easily Netherlands. I think that's...
Netherlands doesn't lose a game in that.
Netherlands ain't gonna lose a game. They also missed the World Cup in 2018, so they're gonna be excited to be back.
Sure.
I think
Mane.
I want to say Senegal because of Sadio Mane, but of course I don't know the rest of the team. I think Ecuador could make a challenge for it. I don't think Qatar's gonna do anything.
No, I don't think they're even gonna. I don't even know if they score.
Well, I don't know. Actually, I could be totally wrong because Qatar. So they did something actually fascinating. So they're in like the Asia.
Okay, yeah.
Conference of it, but because they weren't doing anything, Qatar asked FIFA if they could join other people's tournaments for, like, World Cup qualification things.
Really?
So this past summer's Gold Cup with, like, the United States and Mexico, Qatar was in it.
Okay.
And they made the semis.
Oh, really?
We only beat them 1-0 in the semis. Wow. So, like,
I didn't know that. Maybe.
I don't know.
I still see them.
I still want to take Netherlands-Senegal.
I think Netherlands-Senegal is going to...
Group B. England, Iran, USA, and Wales. And I know we talked about USA being a dark horse, but they played very poorly against Japan this week, which also gets me scared.
Canada played terrible today, too.
England also played very poorly, which makes me feel better. Obviously, the big one is going to be England-USA. You know, if USA wins, it's officially called soccer, which would be funny. That's always the funniest joke to me. But, you know... Honestly, both of them. You can't forget about Wales.
Yeah, I see England winning that group, but I think that it's going to be a dogfight between Wales and the USA.
You know what? I'm going to do it.
Wow. Don't even say what I think you're about to say. Are you going to say England's going to miss right now?
Wales first, USA second, England
third. Wow.
I'm sorry, bro. I've seen England in the Nation League games for 5 weeks. Southgate cannot find a formation that makes his team work, and they can't do anything better than a tie.
Wow.
They lost to Hungary twice.
Fair, they did.
And I think Iran's better than that. Iran, who was it? Iran had a great game the other day against someone.
I don't know. I feel obligated to cheer for England because of all the stuff that went down with the Euro 2020, and it's like...
Iran tied Senegal and beat Uruguay this weekend.
Wow.
So, like,
and
don't.
And Canada just lost to Uruguay this
weekend. Yeah, so don't sleep on them.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I still think it's going to go England, USA.
Okay. Fair enough.
But I think it's going to be a dogfight between the Wales and USA. I think that's going to be a great game.
I think I just always want to imagine USA as, like, oh, like, you know, we're just happy to be there so I don't get let down.
Yeah,
like, I don't want to get to the stage of, like, oh, okay, like, we should do something.
Yeah, like, we should be winning this thing. Yeah. It's like, oh, no,
we're at the stage of hype. Mean. Like, exactly, it makes me nervous. All right, Group C. Argentina, Saudi Arabia, Mexico, Poland.
Ooh.
I I think it's pretty easy with Argentina. Messi's last time in the World Cup. He's going to be on a tear. Honestly, tossed up between Mexico and Poland. I don't know how Mexico is now.
I like Mexico. I think.
I know their managers.
I think people sleep on the CONCACAF. I think that was pretty good.
I'd agree, but.
I don't know. Poland, you got Lewandowski who can.
You got Matty Cash.
Who can single handedly win you a game.
You got Szczesny still in goal, I think.
Yeah.
He's so old, too.
Yeah, he's ancient.
Yeah.
He is ancient. Is he still starting for Juventus?
He might be. I'm totally not sure. I need to look more into Serie A.
Him and Perrin are the two guys there, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I
Group C.
I'm going to go Argentina. Argentina, Mexico.
I'm going to go Argentina, Poland. We'll see how that ends up. Group D, France, Australia, Denmark, Tunisia. I think this is simple. I think, honestly, this might be the easiest group for me, at least. I think it's France, Denmark, and you decide who you want to put first and second.
I think France is going to come first, but I think it's going to be Denmark, but if there was a scary team to make it out, I think Australia could...
Really?
Dude, Australia is legit.
Okay.
I don't know. They have that one. I think his name is Redmond or something. He's their goalkeeper.
I don't know.
I feel like they just, like... I've heard things about them, how they, like they don't quit at any point.
Yeah.
And I think that's the best mentality to have, and especially in a tournament like that. But I do think it is going to be France and Denmark.
Okay. Group E, Spain, Costa Rica, Germany, and Japan.
Costa Rica's in the... I didn't even know.
Yeah, they won a... I think they won the playoff final against New Zealand.
Hmm. Interesting.
This one I think is also kind of easy. Germany, Spain.
Yeah.
Germany won.
What were the other two? Saudi Arabia and...
No, it was Costa Rica and Japan. Costa Rica...
Japan can make some noise, too, but I do think it's...
Japan can't make noise.
It's Spain, Germany?
Spain,
yeah,
Germany.
Yeah, Spain, Germany. That's two absolute wagons.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's beating them.
Okay, last three groups, talking about your boys. Belgium, Canada, Morocco, Croatia.
I think this is the group of death.
I think it is the group of death as well. I think you guys got... Really a terrible end of the stick.
I think that's a crazy good group.
Because
that is four teams that could challenge in the
Morocco's no slouch either.
Belgium, I think Belgium wins the group.
I literally think it's up between the Canada-Croatia match. Yeah. Like that game
I think
is
that game.
That game is so huge.
Agreed.
I'm gonna rock with you boys. I'm gonna go Belgium Canada.
Belgium,
I think
Canada,
it has
me
to.
Too. But, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if any of those teams make it out of that because that's a solid group.
Group G, Brazil, Serbia, Switzerland, Cameroon.
Wow.
This one, I don't really know.
Brazil
wins it, but I don't know much about any of the three other teams.
What were the three other ones again, sorry?
Serbia, which I'm shocked they even made it. I haven't heard them being in a while. Serbia. Switzerland and Cameroon.
Give me Switzerland. Jan Sommer, you got a Kanji.
Is Shaqiri going to play or is he done?
Shaqiri,
is he too old?
No, Shaqiri's still there.
He's playing MLS.
Yeah. Is he?
Yeah, he's on the Chicago Fire.
Oh, I thought he was on Lyon.
No.
No, yeah. Shaqiri always plays good in those international tournaments, though, dude. I swear you hear about him
every
single
time.
That is true.
I'm going to go Brazil and Cameroon specifically for my boy Brian Mbeumo, who just declared from France back to his...
That's another thing that you see a lot, that you're seeing a lot more of now. Like obviously recently it was like Koulibaly switched from, I'm not sure where he resides now, but he was French for a little while there,
and now he's back to whatever. Yeah. No, that, I mean, honestly, I'm glad for those African countries.
Yeah, for
like
sure.
If you have great people
for
coming
sure.
out there, like I that would annoy me so much,
oh,
seeing France
too,
take all my people who like 100%. Just emigrated there. Like, no, that's horrible.
I'm gonna go
Don't get me wrong. I'm going Brazil, Cameroon. I could easily see Switzerland.
I'm gonna go Brazil, Switzerland.
I don't know anything about Serbia, so if you are a Serbia fan, I'm very sorry, but I don't think you guys are gonna make it through.
No.
Last group of the World Cup: Portugal, Ghana. Honestly, this could be a group of death too. Portugal, Ghana, Uruguay, South Korea with Sun.
Yeah, that. Oh my God.
Like
that's another tough group. I don't know anything about like the Korea defense, but their attack is no slouch.
The attack's no slouch.
I don't see them making it out.
I think Ghana always plays good.
Ghana always plays good in the international tournaments. Portugal makes it. You have to.
Did they make it in 2018? Because all I can remember is their slouch when USA was with them in 2014. They didn't make it out.
18, I think they made it to the round of 16. I'm not sure.
I think you're right. I think they did.
I don't know. I think like Messi, Ronaldo, last World Cup possibly, most likely.
Suarez still playing for Uruguay?
Yes, he is.
He is?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm going Uruguay, Ghana. I'm just going to go absolute chaos in that. I think that whole...
I could see that group being chaotic.
I think that whole group's going to be a mess.
I do love Portugal on defense, though. Like, you have Jose Sa in net, Cancelo. You have Ruben Diaz.
Yeah. Oh, I forget about that.
Samedo.
I mean, you have Cancelo. That's the best left back in the world.
You have, obviously, Ronaldo up front. Quaresma.
Jota.
I can't see Portugal.
That's fair.
Not making
That's
it
fair.
Out of that
I
group.
Get that. I always forget about the rest.
But I think I like Uruguay. I think I like Portugal. Uruguay,
I would love to see Son make it to an elimination game in the World Cup. Don't know if it's going to happen.
Not this year.
All right. So after that, went through the groups. I'm just going to say a quick, I guess, two that I'd go for to win it all. I'm gonna go Brazil, France as two big ones, and then my dark horse is gonna be Denmark. I think Denmark is super good, and people just don't realize it. I also just know a lot because Brentford is like a Danish team, and so I know
that's Denmark.
I've learned a lot about like the Danish philosophy and how their structure is going, and I really like them.
Also, point out no Italy. That's wild.
Yeah, no Italy. I always forget about that.
Pretty crazy. My two teams, I feel like you have to say France every time. I don't know. France.
It's hard not to.
Yeah, you kind of have to. France. Can I do three teams?
Yeah, I did three.
France, Germany, Brazil. That's my three. That's my three teams that I think have the best chance of winning.
Yep.
For a dark horse, call me biased.
You gonna pick your boys?
I'm gonna pick my boys. I don't know. I love what I see out of them. I feel like they're so energetic all the time. I feel like Davies' speed up front with Laren and David. I don't know. I feel like it's dangerous.
Yeah, I like your chances for a dark horse way better than mine. So I would totally agree on that. So
here I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Breakout player.
In the World Cup? Oh, dude. I mean, that's so hard. I don't even know the lineups yet. I mean, I feel like that's hard because every breakout player I've heard in other World Cups, I never heard of them before. Like, I never knew James Rodriguez before 2014.
Exactly.
So, like, how am I? I mean, your guys do have... You do have a lot of opportunity with young guys who can make a splash.
I think Jonathan David is going to have a great tournament.
Yeah.
I think that...
It depends.
I don't know. That's a tough question.
I'll go Homer for this one. It depends on, obviously, how their run goes. But, like, if USA goes good, I think it's Brendan Aaronson's time to shine. All right, Pulisic is, like, the father of this generation, but... There are better ones coming.
Yeah, for sure.
I could see that. Other than that, I wouldn't really know.
I'm excited to see who that is because usually, like, obviously, James Rodriguez had a really, like, illustrious career after that World Cup.
Yeah.
So hopefully that happens again.
Well, yeah. Other than that, again, you know, had a great Premier League roundup just talking about only 7 games in. It's such a long... That's why I love it so much, too. It's such a long season. Like, you get excited every single week. Speaking of that, are there any upcoming matches for your team or the Premier League in general that you're excited about? We obviously got the Manchester Derby, I believe, this weekend.
Well, the Merseyside Derby already happened, and it ended 0-0, but oh my...
That's not...
Good
dude,
Lord, did Pickford play unbelievable.
That was an exciting game. That was really fun to watch.
Yeah.
most exciting 0-0 I've seen in a while.
For sure. There was everything in that game. There was posts, goals scored that were offside. It was chaos. I'm excited to see how a team like Everton stacks up against like the lower end teams that they're going to be battling with, like the Wolverhampton game, the Bournemouth game. They got West Ham again.
Yeah, we got a couple. These next 2 weeks for Brentford are huge for us. We got Bournemouth and Newcastle, which I think are. I mean, I think it's got to be 4 points. Like, you got to at least be 4 points right there.
Drawing a tie, yeah.
Yeah.
I think you'd be happy going 1-1.
If I get 4 points out of that, I'll be happy. Yeah. Win out of Bournemouth, I'll tie Newcastle. Yeah, whatever.
For sure.
Because it's going to be hard to score on Pope. That's for sure. But
that dude's a glitch.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to make. Let's just do prediction for the new year. Where do you think your team, Everton's currently in 13th. Where do you think they will be come January 1st?
This is a tough one. I like the way they're playing right now, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like from now to the start of the year, I think that it's a lot better brand of football. I feel like they're playing more as a team. Our young guys are playing really good. Iwobi's been really good. Gordon's been really good. Obviously, we get a guy like Connor Cody that's going to change a lot of things. Yuri Mina still playing good. So I think
you guys will be up.
I think they're going to be 13th or 12th.
Okay.
I think they're going to stick around right where they are. Brentford's sitting in 9th right now. That's crazy.
Not doing bad, but still. Like, dude, we're scoring a lot of goals, but our defense has not been tight
as
how it was
last year. I'm looking
at a stat
right now. You want to hear a stat, Sam?
What?
Bournemouth is in 12th place right now. Their goal differential is
minus 13. It's all
that's the worst in the league.
It's
because
of the Liverpool
insane.
Game, bro.
They're
even worse than Leicester, who has 1 point. That also makes me feel bad. The only point Leicester has is like our comeback from behind tie that we got against them.
Hey, a tie's a tie.
Dude, I was so excited that day, but like each week goes by and I'm like, now the tie like doesn't feel good at all.
Now it's like, dang, we should have beat them.
Yeah. But
where do you see Brentford?
I don't know, dude. I mean, I'm looking at the schedule. We got some nice ones, but we do have a hard stretch of Man City, Tottenham, and Liverpool. Three out of four games.
You got Villa, Wolverhampton, Forest right after.
I did see those. I think I'm gonna keep it kind of like you two. I think we're gonna shock in some games. And I think we're going to have a dud in a couple. I think I'll put us 11th.
I see 10th. That. I see them right in that 10 to 12
I see,
range.
Yeah,
too.
10, 11.
I agree.
And again, I'm fine with that. Hey, I am not here to get out of my depth and say, oh, we're here to win the league. We're here to go to Champions League. Like, no, bro. Trust me. That's why I love this sport. I can cheer for a local team like this and still have so much passion about getting 9th out of 20th. Like, that's what I love about this. Yeah.
Agreed.
So, yeah. Other than that, Cade, thank you so much for getting on the podcast with me and hashing this out because no one else
anytime.
Is really able to keep up with it.
Yeah, that's weird. You don't see many people following this. And
no.
Honestly, the way I started it when I was a kid, I used to watch like FIFA YouTubers all the time. Like I grew up watching like Rota Shaw, KSI, Mini Mentor, that kind
the
of guy. Sidemen. And then after, like as I got older, like I kind of actually started to get into actual soccer, and I'm really glad I did because it's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely a great pastime for me now.
For sure.
Thank you for listening to the Premier League Powwow. Hopefully, we'll be back very soon if we get some listeners and. Who would also love to maybe call in and talk about their favorite Premier League teams.
Sure.
We will see you later.